Hi, everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com live at 4. I'm Missy Matthews, joined by Bob Labriola and Mike Prisuta, coming to you from beautiful Heinz Field. Guys, it feels pretty good to be outside, not bundled up in a winter jacket right now.
Or shoveling snow.
Yeah, that too.
Spectacular out here.
Sunglasses in tow.
Yes.
This is the way this show ought to be done.
Feels like we're at training camp.
No, it's not quite that hot and humid.
I still my beating heart.
All right, we have a lot to get to this show, but of course we are going to start first with some of the different draft visitors that have been at the Steelers practice facility. These are just a list of 9 guys since last Thursday's show that have made an appearance, meeting with coaches, Kevin Colbert, and the whole 9 yards labs.
Yeah, the A player of this group, Bradley Roby, the cornerback from Ohio State, 5'11", 194. I ran a 4.39 at the combine, so that's real speed in terms of that position. He's going to need to get a little stronger, but he's a tall guy. He has long arms. You know, now in the scouting vernacular, they say he has good length. He has some ball skills, punt return experience. He will be a first-round pick, I believe, somewhere.
Yeah, he's got tremendous ball skills, and also had a little bit of a suspension at Ohio State, a disorderly conduct incident. As everyone knows, at Ohio State, disorderly conduct way down the list of stuff they worry about. So I don't think the kid's a red flag. Now, all kidding aside, this guy's a good football player. They play great defense at the Ohio State University. The Steelers have tapped that well before, Bob, have they not?
Yes, they have. And, you know, the Steelers defensive coordinator knows a little bit about the Ohio State University. They always roll out the scarlet and gray, is it?
Yeah.
Carpet whenever Dick LeBeau comes to town. A couple other interesting guys on this list for me, though. Two linebackers, Carl Bradford from Arizona State. I mean, he's a little bit under 6'1", 242 pounds. You know, he's one of those powerful, aggressive guys. In college, he played a position, a hybrid position called Devil, which their nickname is the Sun Devils. He had 20 sacks and combined in 2012 and 2013. Short, powerful, aggressive, sounds like James Harrison. The other guy, Scott Crichton, 6'3", 273. Bigger guy, powerful, had 22.5 sacks and 10 forced fumbles in his college career. Big, powerful pass rusher, a guy who's going to have to adjust from having his hand on the ground at Oregon State to playing outside linebacker for the Steelers. To me, sounds a little bit like Lamar Woodley. Body types.
You're not good at this game.
No, he's just not playing.
I mean, I'm waiting for him to finish so I can talk about the really fascinating guy on this list, and that's the Minnesota kid. All 6'6", 310 pounds of him. Rashid Hagman, I'm not sure if I'm saying his name right, but I have seen him play because, Lab, I watch almost as much Big Ten football as you do. And this guy, this guy's a work in progress. Some, let's say, motivational issues, playing every down issues, at least from my perception. But when he gets after it, man, does he get after it. When he wants to be a tremendous defensive lineman. And, Bob, that might be a position of relative interest here in Pittsburgh.
Well, another position of relative interest here in Pittsburgh is cornerback Jason Verrett. The thing with him is this guy was a very productive cornerback in college. He's quick. He has good ball skills. He's feisty and competitive. You know, his problem is his height. He's 5'9". He is going to be limited in the NFL because he is only 5'9". He'd probably be a nickel corner maybe if he reaches his full potential. You know, a number two kind of guy in a team secondary. But this guy has all of the requisite skills you would want. If he was 6'1", you'd be talking about him probably as a top 10 pick.
All right, well, as the draft is approaching, we're going to kind of go through, play a game that we played last year, guys, called High, Medium, Low. I certainly enjoy this one. And this week, we're going to focus on the Steelers' offense. So we're going to go through a list of positions. You guys are going to pick whether it's a high, medium, or low need for the Steelers as we enter the draft. So let's start with quarterbacks. I think that's a safe one. So you can take a look at the full screen, and we'll kind of go and check you guys off as you pick. So, Labs, we'll start with you.
Low priority.
I'm going to go medium on quarterback.
All right.
Well, it's
yourself.
Low priority for me because not this year. I mean, I understand that the Steelers have Ben Roethlisberger. Certainly at the starting position, they are set at quarterback. But after that, you really don't know what you have, either with Bruce Gradkowski as your veteran backup or with Landry Jones as your young up-and-comer. I understand all of that. But Because you have Roethlisberger, because he is now advancing into his 30s as opposed to just turning 30, I think you need to use your picks for other things to help him be great, and picking a quarterback does not help him be great.
I think it helps the club, though, maybe. And when I say maybe, I'm willing to invest a maybe in the quarterback position because it is that important. I have not yet identified Ben Roethlisberger's successor here in Pittsburgh. Maybe it's Bruce Gradkowski. Maybe it's Landry Jones. But maybe it's somebody else. And, guys, if there's a sixth-round pick out there that can be spent on this year's equivalent of Tom Brady, I would invest that sixth-round pick in this year's equivalent of Tom Brady. If that guy's out there, Bob, draft him.
Yeah, okay. I'll agree with that. I'm picking Tom Brady in the sixth round every time.
All right, let's take a look at running backs now. Mike, we'll start with you on this one.
I'm going to go low on running backs.
I go medium.
All right, you start.
I go low because the Steelers addressed it last year with Le'Veon Bell, and they addressed it this year, not in the draft, but in free agency with LeGarrette Blount. Now, I'm not 1,000% sold that LeGarrette Blount's going to work out, but I think he has the potential to work out. And if he does work out, it's going to work out really well. Running back, not so much this season.
Well, I agree with you totally. Le'Veon Bell, to me, is in my mind, for me, a proven commodity as your number one running back. LeGarrette Blount is a nice complimentary guy to him. However, I really think NFL backfields now need three people, and the third guy I want in mind is one of those scat back types. What LaRod Stevens Howling could have been for the Steelers had he not blown out his ACL in the season opener last year against Tennessee. So I'm looking for a little fast guy who's a good receiver out of the backfield who could maybe run some gadget plays and just change it up a little bit, show defenses a different style. I think Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount are similar in the fact that they're more powerful than fast. I want a guy with them who's more fast and powerful.
You had me really nervous there for a minute. I thought you were going to say that third guy had to be a traditional fullback type.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't do that. You got the fullback. I mean, Will Johnson is there. He's fine.
LaRod is still a free agent.
Well, is he as fast? See, I don't know that. I mean, if LaRod Stevens Howling is back to where he was
pre-injury.
Yeah, I'm interested in him again, but if not, I want someone like that.
Okay. All right, let's move on. Talk about tight ends. Bob, what do you got for this
tight
one?
Ends is medium.
I'm going medium as well on tight ends.
You guys are agreeing?
Well, hey, you know, it happens every
Hopefully
now.
Hopefully this is the only time.
It's like eclipses. Every now and then, yeah, you just have one.
Look at your heads next to each other. That's cute.
Oh, yeah. It's medium for me for a couple of reasons. Heath Miller, you know, is advancing in age as well, and he has also had a serious knee injury. Now, he certainly came back from that very well and had a very good season in the last year, and that there's no indication that that is going to hamper him moving forward. However, you know, you've gone under the knife once at a knee. You're in your 30s, and really behind Heath Miller on the depth chart, there's really nothing special there for me. Matt Spaeth certainly has value as a player for what he is asked to do, and you need a guy like Matt Spaeth to have a successful running attack in the NFL these days. But I think there are guys that you can find like him. That Blanche Flower, who was on the draft list, to me is an example of that. Behind Spaeth is David Paulson. I don't know what you got with David Paulson. I really don't. He's going into his third year. I don't know if he's a keeper or not. So to me, if there's an opportunity to add a tight end, an athletic kind of guy who can help Ben in the passing game, I'm considering it.
Yeah, I would certainly like, if David Paulson is a keeper, I'd like to see him prove it by winning a battle in camp. Let the best man win, so to speak. And I think it's a medium importance position, which is a fairly important position going into the draft because although Todd Haley has not described himself as a three tight end guy like the previous offensive coordinator, he certainly likes to use two of them. And, Bob, we saw last year with Matt Spaeth the injury and David Johnson also unavailable. All of a sudden, man, did that number two tight end become an important position to the overall success of the entire thing. So let's make sure that there are plenty of viable candidates and then sort them out in Westmoreland County.
All right, next one is wide receiver. I'm not even going to let you guys pick. You both need to say high.
Yeah, well, and it's high. And, again, we're going to agree on this again.
I want to go higher than high.
Higher than high.
The highest?
The highest. Yes. And it's a high priority for me for two reasons. Both, you need a top of the depth chart kind of guy because you need two top of the depth chart guys for a one unit. You have one in Antonio Brown, and you need another guy. And you also need, it's a high need because you need numbers. You don't have enough numbers, in my mind, at the position where you're going to pick five of them, maybe six, from what you have now to go into the regular season. So it's a high priority for me, both in terms of the kind of talent you want to add and the fact that you need to add bodies.
And a body type, a guy who stands high off the ground, a guy whose head, the top of his head gets up there about the 6 foot five, 6 foot six mark. That would be just fine with me. Bob, if they find that guy to help Ben Roethlisberger, as you suggested minutes ago, then they can get my Tom Brady in the sixth round, and we're both happy.
Yeah, and then they may not need to use a pick on a tight end either.
Well, let's not get crazy talk.
Yeah,
now.
Okay, well.
All right, let's move to the offensive line. We'll start with tackles on this one. Mike, what do you have?
I'm going medium.
I'm saying low.
Okay, you start.
I'm going to go medium because I think it's an important position. Another one of those deals where you're seemingly set, but injuries can change things in a hurry. And are you really sure about your younger guys? Are those the guys you want to commit to? If there's something out there that really intrigues you, why not bring it in for a closer look?
I'm going to say medium, and I'm going to say what I said for quarterback. Not this year. I mean, you made your commitment to me on the offensive line when you hired Mike Munchak. I want him to have a year with these three guys, and let's find out what we have. If you have three players from among Beecham, Gilbert, and Adams, great. If you only have two players from among those three, I want to know which two they are and that there are two. If you only have one, I want to know who he is, and let's move on from the other two. So I'm giving Mike Munchak 1 year with these three guys. Give me the best you got, coach, and then we'll talk about what level this is next year.
All right, what about guards?
Guards, I got medium.
I have low.
I'm going to go medium there because, really, you only have David DeCastro and Ramon Foster. The rest of the guards you have there are fill-in kind of guys. You can play Guy Wimper there. You can play Cody Wallace there. I think maybe you need to have someone that is more than just a plug-in, fill-in, versatile kind of guy behind your two starters.
I disagree. I like your assessment of the guys you have, and I like the whole let Munchak work his magic type of deal. But I think you can get by with plug-ins if you don't have your starter, assuming there's not another cut block executed on David DeCastro, and it becomes a every play of the season but eight of them type of deal.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of that, centers, what do you have on this one, Mike?
I have low also. I think we're actually both in agreement. The line is in pretty good shape. In fact, better shape probably going into the springtime and the offseason and training camp than we've seen it here in a long time. It seems like they have the right bodies in the right spots, both in terms of who's playing what position, who's starting, who's backing up. Mike Munchak is intriguing, and then some, as the new position coach. Just got to sort it all out and kind of build depth at this point.
Well, when you look at the position, you have Marquise Pouncey and you have Cody Wallace, and that was much better than you were 1 year ago when you had Marquise Pouncey and nobody else. So there's also Fernando Velasco hanging around out there. Maybe he would be right before training camp kind of signing, because he is still rehabbing that Achilles he tore Thanksgiving night in Baltimore. But, there's not a lot of NFL teams that could say they have two guys on their depth chart with starting experience at center and starting experience in helping the team win. I mean, Cody Wallace started four games. The Steelers were 3-1 in those games. So I like where they are with two guys because it's twice as many as they had last year.
3-1 in those games in about –
right.
That much from 4-0 in those games.
Yes.
All right, well, sticking with the offensive line, you've already heard a little bit from new offensive line coach Mike Munchak. Now he's going to give us a little 101 lesson, on zone blocking.
They've done a little bit, zone is pretty much what it seems like. You block the man in your zone. So that means if a defense does a lot of, if we're going to run the ball to the right, for example, and they've run a lot of the inside zone plays here, meaning the more of the inside the tackle zone. The outside zone obviously is more targeted at the tight end area, the tackle tight end area, but it allows the offensive line to come off the ball, and we'll do it aggressively. We're not catching, we're not being soft, we're being physical. You come off at the same angle the back is coming off at the angle, like if it's to the right, obviously to the right hand side. and you're working together. You're working in combination blocks. Maybe the center of the guard are working together. Maybe the guard, you know, you're always working with someone and blocking your area. It's not very hard to do. Just any, like anything, it's repetition. It gives the back a three-way go to as far as if he's, is he going to take that ball? He's going to read a certain block, and he's either going to bounce that ball outside, he's going to take it back inside. So he has a way of making us look good real quickly once the running back gets used to the schemes we're running. And there's a lot of ways you can play around with the backside and change the blocking schemes to give the defense something to think about constantly. And if it's in great with the run action or with the play action, so it's something that, again, they've done here. These guys have done it in college. These guys have done it. And I think more is made out of it than needs to be. I think they just haven't called it as much in the huddle. And it's just something we have to get a little more confidence in. And it'll be part of our offense this year, along with what they do very well and have been doing, the gap schemes, the draw schemes. They're all going to be there. So you're very capable of doing those things and doing them well.
You already touched on the running back, but using the outside zone blocking scheme, how does that help a running back and help get that run game going?
Well, it spreads, it stretches the defense. You're forcing that thing. They're not sure exactly where he's going to cut, and you're watching him run the inside zone and some of the runs they've run. I mean, I think he has very good vision, has a good feel for the game, and it's just a matter of him getting more reps at it. It just spreads it rather than being more downhill. Gets everyone moving. And he gets the linebackers moving more lateral. So when you're moving lateral, then they can't be right. He's reading off. If they decide to jump outside, he can cut back inside. So it gives him a chance to set blocks up. And I think that's something with the backs they have here. That's something they both do. They do very well. So I think it's going to be a nice complement to some of the things we're doing. And you're going to see us implement other things also that to take advantage of once I learn some of the attributes and skills our alignment have and the running back has. It's more or less us fitting what they're good at. It's not coming in here and saying, here's how we're going to do it. Here's what I did at Tennessee, or here's what we think we need to do. It's more or less, what do these five offensive linemen, what does our tight end, what does our back do best, and fit the system to that.
Mike, Coach Munchak, someone calls himself a teacher. You can just tell from that interview, he's itching to teach these guys what he knows and what he's used as a player and a coach.
And I am personally itching to see what he can do. He's kind of the Zen master of the outside zone. We saw so much time, effort, and energy devoted to that in training camp last year, and then it went away after the Pouncey David DeCastro play. And really, it's a perfect fit for Le'Veon Bell for a couple of reasons. He's used to it. He ran it in college. Bob, I told you I watched some Big Ten. He did
Any
it in
Michigan
college.
State?
He did go to Michigan State. And what you get out of it, not just successful runs, 4, 5, 8 yards, the cutbacks open up, and that's where the big plays come from. That's what we did not see much of from Le'Veon Bell last year, the big play cutback runs. That's what we saw a whole lot of from Chris Johnson when he was in Tennessee. Now, Chris Johnson, a different back than Le'Veon Bell, a much faster guy, but same kind of theory. Get them worried about them beating you to the outside. They start cheating to the outside. That's when you cut it back to where they were. This can work.
Us fitting what we're good at. Sweeter words I've never heard. Do what your players can do. And that, to me, if you look up coach in the dictionary, you'll find some sort of variation of that. And I like that. Rather than, as Mike Munchak said, I'm not going to bring guys in here and say, okay, this is what we're going to do and try and fit, you know, square pegs into round holes. I agree with you about that scheme, and I think that there are a lot of players on this depth chart on the offensive line who can help the Steelers with that scheme. But I also like the fact that the scheme is not the most important thing to this guy. He is more interested in finding what his players can do and then getting them to do it to the best of their ability. That's how you win football games.
And that being the case, a lot of this is going to depend on Marcus Gilbert, whoever the right tackle is, because a lot of the cutback stuff comes from the backside. And the right tackle being able to move and get done with him.
And maybe that's
done.
Adams.
And maybe whoever.
Right.
Training camp. We'll sort it out. Maybe.
It's a good place to do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we heard from Coach Munchak. Now let's take a listen to what James Saxon had to say about the outside zone scheme and also the relationship he's building with Coach Munchak.
Well, there's a number of different advantages, and it's based on your personnel. What does your personnel do best? The philosophy always has been, where I've been and around, what do the five guys up front do the best? There is no favorite play for a particular runner. He has to be able to adapt to what the five guys up front are doing, and obviously we as coaches, we've got to understand what he does well.
Can
Can you talk about the relationship that you're building or already have with the new offensive line coach, Mike Munchak, just in terms of getting this run game? Finished kind of strong last season, but obviously I'm sure you guys want to take it to new heights.
Well, you know, Mike is a very knowledgeable guy. He's been in this league a long time. He's been, you know, he's been very fortunate to be in one place for a long time. I'm really getting a chance to get to know the guy, and the relationship is really going well, and I think that we're all going to have fun working together.
All right, I think it's time to put a bow on the offense, looking at the Steelers' needs heading into the draft next week. Guys, we'll take a look at defense. Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
All right, that is it.
Do we get to be outside again?
We'll see about that.
Okay.
It depends.
Field trips. I love field trips.
Especially when they're right here, right?
Right.
In the beautiful
outside.
Sunshine. Mm-hmm.
Where would you rather be?
Than right here.
Right now.
Okay. All right, that is it for Steelers.com Live at 4. Thanks for joining us. For Bob and Mike, I miss you. We'll see you next Thursday at 4 p.m.